heading on a wrestling road trip.
Yeah, don't sleep on road trips with the bruises. You either end up without an eyebrow or you got something drawn on your face.
Well, download the latest Grapple Talk podcast on iTunes. Just type Grapple Talk into the search bar.
Power levels, 8,000. Huh? Now it's over 9.
What does the scouter say about his power level?
It's over 9,000!
What, 9,000? There's no way that can be right!
I present to you the hosts of Grapple Talk, Nick Wagner, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
And welcome into Grapple Talk. It's episode number 52. I don't even, is it 52?
It's actually 52, yes.
Okay, yeah. 52. We should be at like 54 this week. But we just decided to take some time off. We had some stuff going on. I just got a new video game. I wanted to play that still, you know, a little bit and suffocate on some turkey from Thanksgiving.
Hey, congratulations!
I just actually finished my last leftover.
Oh, did you have like a turkey sandwich or did you do the turkey soup?
I had so much leftovers from Thanksgiving that I could literally recreate my Thanksgiving dinner every day. So I mean, I just had turkey and then I had the sweet potatoes and I had the cheesy potatoes and I had like the carrots.
You didn't invite me over for Thanksgiving?
No, of course not. It was on my paper plate. It was a little less, you know, fabulous.
I'm not a fancy dude, man. Just give me a napkin. I'll be fine.
I don't even.
You didn't even cook it. You just microwaved it.
I did. I microwaved it.
And you couldn't invite me over?
No. Okay. I never invite you over. You're messy.
Hey, man, I invite you over. You never show up.
I know. I got other things going on. What you probably don't have other things going on, though, for...
Here are some of the upcoming shows in the Midwest area.
And, Jesse, why don't you start us off?
Oh, I guess I'm going first, Nick.
Yeah,
go. So, yeah, of course, we have BCW's Headlock for Hunger. That'd be this Friday at the Knights of Columbus in West Allis, Wisconsin. Of course, it's at 7:30 p.m. You're going to see some great action. But, folks, remember, you can bring items, just, you know, like food
what?
Items. Food items,
food?
And actually get a discount off your tickets, so that's always a good thing.
Oh, okay.
Everything will go back to the Hunger Task Force of Greater Milwaukee, especially during this time of the year. It's always a good thing. Plus, you have an opportunity to win a 15-pound turkey.
Oh. Wow.
Of course, our main event will be a Four Corners King of the Hill elimination match as the Beer City Bruisers will be taking on Psychotic Rage, Insane Evil, and the Congregation as well.
Huh.
A return match for the BCW Heritage Championship as the new champion, Sean Priest, will be taking on the former champion, Peter Schwanz. Of course, the Ladies' Championship will be on the line as Stacy Shadows defends against Kendra Hall. We're going to see the return of Wisconsin Outlaw Jay Cross will be there as well. Jared Jax will be taking on the Ice Cream Man, Tyler Sunday. That's going to be
Tyler
a good
Sunday.
One. And the Alpha Dog, Mace Morgan, will be there as well, taking on Vinny Wright. Of course, the new BCW Heavyweight Champion of the World, Joey Jett Atavon, will also be in action.
Cool. Is that it?
Yeah, I'm going to look up the ticket information because, you know, it's the same price all the time. Tickets are $17 or $12 if you use PayPal before the fact. So
that sounds like a way different ticket system, actually. That's a good thing you said that.
Well, I don't know. It's like
a good thing I reminded you to say that.
Or, you know, if it's $17, you get $3 back. You can use it at the bar. You know, they have one of the best bars in the area at the Knights of Columbus. We actually, Devlin Kane actually got drunk.
We probably know that.
Devlin Kane knows that very well, and I think the rest of the state of Wisconsin knows that very well by the trail of vomit he left.
That Icelandic bastard. Okay. So anyways, also coming up on Friday will be Pro Wrestling All-Stars of Detroit, probably presenting Christmas Classic 2014. Obviously, it's not Christmas this Saturday, Friday. So
but it's December, though. I mean,
yeah,
it's
holiday
season.
I'm just saying, when I say that, I want people to be like, oh my God, Christmas is on Friday? I'm so far behind on Christmas. It's like, it's not this Friday. This is what the show's called. It's going to be this Friday, 7:30 at the Play Atlantis in Melvindale, Michigan. Tickets are 5 for kids, 10 for adults, so it's an, you know, it's an expensive show. Tickets are only available at the door on a first-come, first-served basis, so you can't reserve tickets, so make sure you get there nice and early if you want to see some wrestling action in not in Detroit, but Pro Wrestling All-Stars of Detroit, so that's why I said that. You can also bring new unopened toys for donations for Toys for Tots, and then you will receive a free ticket to their next show at Play Atlanta. So that's really kind of cool. Yeah, that's cool. That's like definitely encouraging bringing toys, you know, Toys for Tots. It's always a good cause, especially around the holiday season. The main event will be PWAS Heavyweight Champion Officer Rod Street taking on the state of, and his state of corruption. This whole thing recently reading from my iPhone is really difficult on my eyes, so I'm just letting you know that.
Difficult on your eyes?
It's just there's so many lines. It's like I'm reading a novel, and I'm trying to read it quickly. So Rod Street will lead his State of Corruption of the FIA, including inmate Jack Thriller, Lieutenant Chris Moore, and Deputy Dave, against the team of the Great Akuma, Atlantis Hightower, and the PYS Tag Team Champions of the Hebrew Hammer, Joseph Schwartz, and the Dirty White Boy, Chuck Stein. Is it Steen?
I think it's...
It looks like Stein.
It looks like Stein, so we're just
Chuck
say
Stein.
Stein.
Chuck Stein. And a special mystery partner. It's going to be a 5-on-5 Survive the Holidays elimination match. Interesting enough, if you were in a household with many brothers and sisters, you probably also had a 5-on-5 Survive the Holidays elimination match. There will also be a PUAS Cruiserweight Corps champion as Chase Matthews defends his title against the one, Owen Travers, in a Miracle on 34th Street fight. Also, there's going to be an after months of frustration, the King of Status, Briar Wellington, will take on his former tag team partner and fellow threat member, Amazing Nate Mattson, with special guest referee, the Human Amplifier, Steve Rivera, in a threat explosion match. I'm done, okay? The show is this Friday. Tickets, again, $10 for adults, $5 for kids, 7:30, Melvindale, Michigan, at the Play Atlantis. I'm sorry, I cannot read anymore. PWAS.
Well, of course, just
so
in
much
the
stuff.
Just in the benefit of people that maybe couldn't follow that, we will still have the poster on Friday.
There's a lot of stuff.
So, you know, anything that you maybe missed, and I think you got a good chunk of it.
Yeah.
But
if you can understand what I was saying.
If you can understand,
so
then kudos to you. But one more show coming your way this weekend that we're going to talk about. Actually, it's kind of following the same theme. I don't know if you guys are noticed this.
What's it?
You know, Headlock for Hunger, raising money for you know, for the hungry. You got the Toys for Tots drive for PWAS.
Okay.
This Saturday is a benefit show
for
to
what?
Help out a local Becca Kobus, who is suffering from lymphedema. So it's a disease.
Lymphedema? What is it?
It's a disease that is where swelling generally occurs in one or both of the legs, caused by a blockage in the lymphatic system, an important part of your immune and circulatory system.
Wow.
So this Postigo native, with help from Under the Lights Entertainment.
It's tough reading from your phone, isn't it?
It is. you know, from help with Rogue King Excavating and Double D's King of Clubs, Under the Lights is putting together this lockdown on lymphedema. So that's okay. Going to be this Saturday.
I'm glad I'm not doing that show on commentary. There's no way I would be able to say that.
No kidding. So that's going to be at the Postigo Middle High School. That will be in Postigo, Wisconsin. Again, this Saturday.
What was the city name?
Postigo.
Oh, I thought you said Pitched Eagle. I was like...
Pitched Eagle, Wisconsin. That would be a
pitch
nice place
eagle.
To go.
Is that an eagle that pitches
like,
people?
No, pitch. It's so, pitches of guitar strings.
So one thing that's going to be nice about this benefit, there's going to be raffles, pictures with Santa. Santa's taking the time out of his busy schedule to go check out.
Now, does Santa have a match?
I don't know. I haven't gotten
read
that
on.
But pictures with Santa, if you want to get one,
okay.
Is just $5. The ladies from
that's
the Wisconsin steal. Academy yeah. Will be there doing braids and face painting. And there will also be vendors there selling some of their products. It will be 2 hours of Lights Out wrestling action for Under the Lights, as we'll see Taos take on Mason Quinn for his heavyweight title.
Cool.
Brock Hall and Dysfunction will be taking on the Super Smash Brothers. Xavier Mustafa will be taking on Joey Avalon.
Okay.
And other superstars you can check out, you'll see TW3, Ian Gager, Kaz Carter, and Cooter Bocephus.
Nice.
And also making their UTL debut will be Nick Colucci and former WWE, WCW, ECW, and NWA wrestler Steve Storm. Doors open at 5. Bell time is at 6:30. You can get your tickets at multiple locations, but you can check all of the info out at utlentertainment.com.
Cool.
Cool.
That's cool.
A lot of really festive shows coming up this weekend.
That's literally like a holiday festival with wrestling included. What
Absolutely.
Riley just read. There's like a bunch of things.
So if you went to that show, what kind of design would you get painted on your face?
Oh, that's a good question.
A dick? Would you paint a dick on your face?
That's you. That's you.
A patriotic penis.
A patriotic penis. A Santa penis? Like a penis with a Santa hat on it?
What is it with you and penises today?
That's probably what you would get.
You're the one talking about penises, bro. You want to talk something about
this? This is not phallus talk. This is grapple phallus talk, so we got to get back to business here. It's been a lot of... It's been a really crazy 2 weeks.
Here's what happened. Last week we had a show, and AC Riley must have been elbow-dropping people on his way home, and it fell out of his pocket, the card that included the show. So we didn't have, we didn't have a show, which is fine, whatever.
We now have a lost episode.
But yeah, we have a lost, so if somebody finds it and posts it, you know, you're probably going to get a lot of exposure. But a lot happened, right? You know, mm-hmm. There was the Winona show that was just, that, I mean, it's too overdone, don't want to talk about it anymore.
Old news already.
Old news. Punk had a podcast last week.
Old news already.
Vince McMahon had a podcast.
Old news already.
The royal family attended a Cleveland Cavaliers basketball game.
Didn't LeBron, like, grope the princess or whatever her name is?
Probably, like, and then he turned over to her ear and he's like, "Have you ever seen my feet? Because they're disgusting." Because if you haven't seen LeBron James' feet yet, look it up on Google. It's pretty fucked up.
Man, I don't want to do that.
It's gross. His toes are over. It looks like this. That's what this is his little toe.
But even beyond that, though, like New Japan Pro Wrestling launched their streaming site.
Yeah.
I guess as of today, they actually have an English option on the website as well. So
now
you can just click on that. It's in the lower right-hand corner, and you can enjoy the streaming as well.
Have you tried it?
Not yet.
I feel like out of everybody that I know, you would definitely be the one person to try that first.
So much work. We're so backed up on wrestling shows that it is.
Yeah, I know, because you've done. How many did you do this past weekend? Two or three?
We were at SWE and we're in WPW in Two Rivers, which was a beautiful town, by the way. I wish we actually could have been able to see more of it.
Two Rivers there?
I think there's two rivers that meet there.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. So it's like two rivers almost making love.
Yes, and then they spill out to Lake Michigan.
Oh, so then they create the baby of Lake Michigan. That's.
Yeah.
That's very just beautiful.
It is.
It should be on a card or something.
But like the big news this week, though, is CM Punk signed with UFC.
He did. What do you think about that, AC Riley, the wrestler?
Oh, man. I mean, there's going to be a lot of different perspectives. I mean, a lot of people will look at kind of like what Brock Lesnar did, you know, trying to pursue talents elsewhere. A lot of people are going to be, you know, kind of quoting the whole thing with Ryback. Saying that got kicked super hard in the ribs, and now he's going to go to UFC where a lot more than just a kick in the ribs is going to happen.
Heard it.
Of course, we heard a lot of jokes to Colin Brooks about now he's going to pursue MMA. We've been hearing a lot of stuff.
Man, I feel bad, Colin Brooks, Simba. I feel bad, man, for saying this because I know you listen. I think you do at least. Hopefully you are. But, man, I feel like ever since I listened to Punk's podcast, he just comes off like a whiny bitch. And, like, did you hear? Yeah, he does. Did you listen? Did you watch his state, like his whatever you want to call it, when he was sitting up at UFC with his mic and stuff?
I actually didn't get a chance to see that. Can you inform us how that was?
I didn't see it either.
I don't know. He just comes up, like, it's. I respect him, and I think he has, like. WWE helped him a lot with PR and stuff, too, because you can tell where his frame of mind is, but you can tell he's not trying to say that. But he just sounds he sounds kind of arrogant about it, and he almost sounds like even in his interview that he was taking a shot at working at, you know, this is the greatest, this is the most, I've never been this excited for anything in my entire life, and it's almost like he's underlyingly saying, yeah, WWE, take this, I'm about to make so much money and bring so much attention over to this promotion, which is fine because what happened with WWE, but I don't know, man, I just think, I already know that UFC is going to throw him some no-name opponents, and Punk's going to get three wins under his belt.
Well, that's
always
been kind of said, that they were going to treat him as a fighter who is just starting, much like everyone else who is just starting, so he's going to find someone at the same type of skill level.
I wouldn't say, I bet they'll give him somebody under his skill level, because he right now, I would guess, he has to be in their top, right away, he would have to be in their top five as far as, you know, faces of the company, like just coming right with his first fight.
Name,
like
recognition, name recognition alone, like that's huge for them.
But and if he loses two fights in a row, he's still going to make you money, but not going to be as popular.
So if he's a rookie, if he's a novice, you're going to give him another rookie, another novice.
You're
going
to give him a guy that he can whoop his ass. They're going to be like, this guy's 0-1. Punk has the strength to take this guy out. We'll feed him to Punk. That's exactly what's going to happen because that's a good business plan. And I heard it talked about before, which I think is actually really funny and interesting. The idea behind, everybody always saying, you know what, UFC's not fake. It's real. It's like, well, that's kind of horseshit because what they're going to do is they're setting up guys to succeed. So I don't necessarily think they're going to be giving Punk, a fair matchup. They're going to try to make sure this guy gets a couple wins because he's going to be their moneymaker. Same with Lesnar. You know, Randy Couture, a great fighter, but Jesus, Lesnar had like 100 pounds on the guy when they first fought. And obviously Lesnar's going to whoop his ass because, dude, one punch of Lesnar probably had the G-force of a punch, you know, the same size as Randy Couture by like 10 guys. I mean, it's just not fair.
But here's the crazy thing to even know about Lesnar is glass jaw gets knocked in the face, he's down as well.
Yeah, and that showed.
That's always the cool thing, though, about like UFC or boxing and stuff like that. Everyone likes to make sure that it's a legitimate sport, but you always protect your investments.
Yeah.
And that's one of the cool things about it is you can see it happening. They're going to develop storylines and stuff like that, which is something they learned from pro wrestling. The way the product is actually presented, they took a lot of cues from that as well. It's a nice marriage. I think he's going to do well there. I think it's going to be one
really?
Of those, yeah, I think he's going to do well. Because here's the thing.
He's 36. Like, he has bad knees. I just don't see it. I don't know how he could.
You know what doing well there is?
Fighting?
3 to 4 matches. Payday.
Yeah, that's.
Go home.
I mean,
screw your wife.
Personally, yeah, that's a great life because he has a fantastic looking wife, by the way, as well. But I'm saying, you know, for overview, I think it's funny because when people first, you know, hear about this, they're like, oh, dude, he's going to walk in there. And I think people have this mindset like he's going to walk in and just tear house or something.
No, he's not.
Like, yeah, but that's what the funny thing is I think people realize, you know, that's like when Lesnar first, you know, oh, my God, Lesnar's going to UFC and he's fighting Frank Mir. It's like, oh, my God, Lesnar, you know, Frank Mir made him fucking tap out. It's like,
but
okay.
The thing about Lesnar, though, the second he got into that zone, he was in that zone. It just took him a while to get comfortable with it.
Right, but I'm saying the hype train that was Lesnar died after that Frank Mir fight, and it took that win over Couture, which didn't make a lot of sense, by the way, because, I mean, that's another thing, too. How does Lesnar have, I mean, I don't remember what his overall MMA record was, but I'm pretty sure he only had one, maybe that Mir fight, or two fights prior to that championship fight when guys have to work, you know, work their asses off to try to get a fight like
remember,
that.
Remember, it's about boxing.
It's about, that's what I'm saying, though.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying.
So
it's about,
I mean,
it's like, it's, UFC almost has become, it's not a fake sport, obviously, and I wouldn't say wrestling is a fake sport either, but you have to pander to the market. I mean, it's not necessary. It's not the same thing as, you know, everybody always wanted to say, oh my God, well, you know, this league's trying to set up the Lakers in the finals. It's like, well, there's still some sort of competition there. I mean, the refs can't do everything.
Unless you're the Dallas Mavericks, and then apparently the refs can do everything to make sure you don't win. But no, like, they understand the concept of box office, and like getting people excited about their product, and that's exactly what they did. Now everyone's talking about CM Punk, everyone's talking about UFC, they're not talking about WWE. And it's one of those things where it's like, man, it's like the cool factor is gone, and it's going to take a little bit for that cool factor to come back, but it will, you know, because WWE is very smart about what they do as well. You don't stay in business as long as they have by being a flash in the pan.
Right.
And they're probably going to bounce back. It's one of those things where who's going to come out on top? It's not so much UFC against WWE. It's CM Punk against WWE right now.
I just want to know what you guys think. What is so cool? The cool thing about Lesnar, this guy, you know, NCAA champion, right?
Yep.
He's massive. He's bigger than anybody else that fights there. He's
a physical freak.
He's a physical freak. And then he just has that demeanor where he's like, I'm going to kill someone. He looks scary. Like, if I saw a dude in a building, I would turn the other way and run, regardless if he was nice or not. What is Punk's... I mean, in wrestling, Punk was so popular because he could get the mic, and he was a great, you know, performer in the ring. I just don't see how Punk stands out from other guys in UFC other than being, oh, there's just another tattooed guy with slick back hair. Because Lesnar stood out because he stood out in the octagon. What is going to make Punk stand out that's going to be a draw after his first one or two fights?
More than likely, what name value? His drive. Like, if you listen to those podcasts he had with Caban and stuff like that, you know this guy's a very driven individual. If he sets his mind to a goal, he'll accomplish it. So there's that as well. I think his mouth is definitely going to help people get in. And the look. There's going to be so many fans who are just casual fans who want to see how he does there. They're going to keep on tuning in. And the fact that he's not going to be overexposed, that he might have like two fights a year, it's going to be so much it's going to be beneficial for his brand. And I think it's going to be a win-win situation.
Huh.
I really do.
I definitely think it definitely is going to be a good buy rate. For CM Punk, with the first time he actually fights, I wouldn't be surprised if he headlines that poster for the first fight he's booked on, or even is on the main card. But the thing too, remember that CM Punk when he was training to get ready for matches in WWE, he was using Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu for his exercise. So it's not like he's just saying, I want to do UFC just because I think it'd be fun. He's got the background for it. I mean, you don't just go into any profession not knowing what to expect. So I wish him luck in UFC, and hopefully he doesn't get his ass kicked too badly.
I don't know.
Just want him to not succeed.
I'm just sour grapes.
Are you a Ryback guy?
I hate Ryback. I hate that guy. I just don't like him. He looks like a mole rat. I like Triple H. I think H is a cool guy.
Why? Do you guys actually? Okay, it's really cool though. On a side note here, though, Triple H actually did a press conference call today with like a lot of the wrestling dirt sheets and stuff like that, talking about the NXT upcoming show and stuff like that on Thursday. You've got the network, check it out. And like the performance center, it was actually really kind of cool because he came off as like the nicest dude on the planet talking to guys like us. And he's like, hey, man, if anytime you want to go down to the performance center and check it out, press, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, come on down. You know what, guys? We should go to Florida and check it out.
We should.
Let's do it.
That's what's so weird about, like, yeah. You know, because now the podcasts and stuff, obviously we've been hearing it for years just in dirt sheets and stuff, but you always hear these guys are just big assholes, but then it's like, sometimes you're like, I wonder if he's really just a giant sweetheart and just things are just blown out of proportion.
I think it was just a huge, huge lack of communication in the WWE. It's just one of those things where you're on top, very much like paranoia sits in, a lot of different things set in. It's kind of weird that I read one article somewhere, I think it was on UpRocks. It was actually a pretty decent article about how if you want to say that CM Punk like left and all that stuff, the coolest bit of the article was they used that as the catalyst for Triple H to change. And like the stuff he's done since Punk has left, he's really preparing the future of that company. He's doing a marvelous job with the old NXT brand, and it seems like one of those things where he's really taking it to heart, being that guy that people can come up to and talk to and stuff like that. So I don't know. Who knows? Maybe like that's the catalyst to make the WWE change. Who knows?
You ever see Triple H as maybe like a, you know, like Vince McMahon in the 90s, like just a jacked up dude that's going to start wearing jeans and a black tank top to the ring for matches, and it's like, I hate you! I hate you, Dean Ambrose! I hate you! Ambrose, you ruined it all! You ruined it!
And I don't know.
A cage
I don't
match
know.
On Valentine's Day? And then, like,
I think he's gonna be
giant
a
giant guy is going to be like, through the cage!
No.
Oh my god, it's Paul Wright! But we're going to change his name in a couple weeks for copyright purposes.
The big thing, I see Triple H more or less being more like a, maybe like even Baba was in Japan, right?
Mm.
Everyone knows he's in charge, but he only wrestles every once in a while type of thing. And I think it's going to be one of those rare occasions. If he does come back, he is doing the job. I mean, he did the job at WrestleMania. He did the job to Evolution, but the Shield. He did all these good things for these young guys, like, after this fact.
Yeah.
So they're kind of nice, you know. I think he's going to take on that type of role because, like, God, man, like, the authority figure storyline thing is, you know, so passe by now.
It's gone.
Yeah, but you know what's not gone? Our attention span, because coming up next, though, Melanie Cruz is on the spotlight.
Yeah, speaking of Japan, she is making her way on back, and I still think that, I mean, I'm going to ask her about it later, but I still think that whole Godzilla gimmick would have just been so fucking hot.
Go, go, Cruzilla! Go, go, Cruzilla!
Let's roll out with some Blue Oyster Cult then.
Alright, cool.
Absolutely.
With a purposeful grimace and a terrible sound, he pulls the spinning high tension wires down. Helpless people on subway trains scream the guide as he looks in on them. He picks up a bus.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
For some reason, they let these stupid fans build weapons out of Legos to be used in this match.
Check out your Facebook or Twitter, and check out the Grapple Talk.
This was the stupidest idea I've ever heard.
If you have a drum set, bust it out, because right now is that moment that you've been waiting for this entire hour. It's Spotlight of the Squared Circle.
Well, this week in the Spotlight and Squared Circle, guys, we're talking with somebody that just came back from Japan not too long ago, and they've been on quite a roll here back in the Midwest, and it's almost like they never left. Melanie Cruz is joining us in the Spotlight and Squared Circle. And Melanie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing all right.
I can't complain. I mean, I didn't get to go over to Japan, but hey, Wisconsin is still, you know, somewhat nice, I guess. It's supposed to be kind of warm in the next couple of days. So,
what exactly is warm, though? Like 30?
50 sometime in the future.
What's Japan's weather like? Does it get cold over there? I don't even know. Is it cold over
there? It gets cold for maybe 2 months a year.
Oh, wow.
And cold is like here, maybe 30s.
Oh, wow.
It is always hot, always rain.
Well, it must be nice, at least, for anybody listening to this in the Midwest, and now it's just been freezing. So, of course, you know, hot and rain, that's actually not a bad combo.
Yeah.
But anyways, you know, we could talk about
no,
Japanese.
I missed the cold.
You
it was
the
that
cold.
Bad.
Well, you know,
Chicago-born, I missed the cold.
Fair enough. Well, we could probably talk about weather for a good chunk of the time, Melanie, but we got to get into your experience here with Japan. So tell us a little bit about just how the actual tour itself came to be.
It actually all came through Shimmer. I wrestled a few of the Japanese girls there at Shimmer, and it was more of like a tryout. So I wrestled about three of them. And then after the last one, they came up to me and said they'd like to have me come over.
So we know that you've been obviously wrestling for a while now, and it comes second, you know, nature to you. But did you know it was kind of a trial going into it? I mean, what's that kind of like, just, you know, having that, I guess, that on top of your shoulders as well, not only putting out a good performance, but knowing, hey, this might lead to bigger and better things?
It's a big thing on my shoulders, but it's also what I love to do. We're in this business to do the things like go to Japan. So I was 100% ready. It was definitely a different experience, but I loved every second of it.
Now, Melanie, even here in the Midwest, you're one of the taller athletes, especially even with like the male wrestlers, as
I know
it
where
is.
You're going with this.
When you went to Japan, the height differential was, I would have to say, astronomical.
It was pretty significant.
So what's that like going into to one of the Japanese shows, and you know, just having somebody come up to meet you and be like, oh, wow, you are just way taller than anybody else in this locker room. You know, what's that got to be like?
Well, in the locker room is a little different. I mean, everyone was very intimidated by my look, fans and wrestlers. I was the first foreigner that the company that I worked for brought in. So they didn't know how to take a foreigner, and especially add on that I'm one of the biggest girls in wrestling. It added a little bit, but, I mean, everyone opened up pretty well. It just took a little bit of time to get used to someone of my size over there.
Let's talk, I guess, just more about the experience. You know, we've had people come on here, and it's like, hey, what's it like working in Iowa? And they're like, it's kind of the same thing. I don't think you can necessarily say that. I mean, what's it kind of like going out in the crowd and just being like, wow, this is so different than anything I've ever experienced before? What's that kind of like just being in the ring?
It absolutely overwhelming in a good way experience. The Japanese crowd is a lot different than an American crowd. The Joshi, the women wrestlers in Japan, it's still looked at as a sport, so it's more of like a fight. So the fans, there's no entertainment in it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I want to come back to Japan, Melanie, but I think what I actually want to do, too, is I want to let the viewers know that maybe haven't heard of Melanie Cruz, although I know it's probably not the most likely thing. Tell us, you know, what got you to, you know, going over to Japan? How did you, I guess, become who you are and get that opportunity?
That's actually a tough question, but I have been working for Shimmer for about 5 years now. Mainly because I'm local, so I got in pretty easily and at a young age in the wrestling business. And I was able to kind of watch and study one of the girls in the world when Shimmer brought them in. So Shimmer has a big, big part in my role in getting to Japan. If it wasn't for Shimmer, I wouldn't have been there.
So, you know, talking about Shimmer opening the door for you to get into Japan. I want to talk a little bit about coming back from Japan. To my knowledge, I think it was almost the night after you came back stateside, you're wrestling for Strong Style Wrestling, and I gotta imagine the jet lag, which was just insane. But apparently, it seemed to work out for you just fine because you were actually crowned the AIWF Women's Champion, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. It wasn't as bad at the wrestling. It's the everyday living that was hard to adjust to. You go from being in a crowd of people and not understanding a word that they're saying to everyone talking to you. Like, it was a weird adjustment. Wrestling is universal. Like, it was so easy to come back to the American crowd and what I grew up on learning, that entertainment part, just literally entertaining the crowd, getting the crowd involved. In Japan, they don't do that. So it was a lot easier for me to adjust back to the way I've always wrestled. But it was the everyday living that was really hard.
Well, in Japan, there's such a rich wrestling tradition as there is. Did you pick up a few things in Japan that you decided to add to your arsenal here in the States?
There's a few things. More of them were just like ways to work with a lot shorter girls. Because here in America, I mainly wrestle the men. So I've never had to truly wrestle shorter girls all the time. So that was actually my biggest obstacle out there, was coming up with new stuff to wrestle with the shorter girls.
So coming back from Japan too, I mean, talking about just adding things to your arsenal, I guess just the experience in general, how do you think that's going to, change you, I guess, as a wrestler going ahead in the future?
It changed me tremendously. Not my entertainment part, but the way I look at wrestling. There's so many different styles, and to be like at the top of my game and everything, I have to know how to entertain all types of crowds. And that was like my biggest goal out there, was to get these Japanese fans up off their feet instead of sitting in silence and clapping when they're supposed to, being respectful, like trying to get them to open up and actually have fun and get involved in the show.
So one thing, as we've been talking a lot about just your experience wrestling in Japan, but one thing I also want to look at too is that you were there for 3 months right in Japan, and I gotta ask, what was a typical week in the life of Melanie Cruz over in Japan?
Well, I was actually extremely busy. The 3 months flew by. Every day it was either training, working out, or there was a show. A few days we would go sightseeing, or I'd just go walk around the bus, explore Tokyo. I mean, every day was different. There was always some type of physical activity going on. So, I mean, I kept pretty busy. I think they kept me busy so I wouldn't have any downtime, but it was definitely an amazing experience that I'll never forget.
So you said that you didn't have much downtime, but I got to ask, when you got into that last week of the 3 month tour, did it mean that you were looking forward to coming back stateside, or were you almost wishing, I wish I had longer than 3 months?
It was definitely both. It was definitely a bittersweet ending to that tour. I made a lot of great friends and people who totally changed my experience in Japan. At first, I wasn't really digging the whole culture. It was just a different culture that I wasn't used to. And I love America. But a couple people totally changed the way I looked at everything, which really changed my outlook on everything. So it was definitely bittersweet. I definitely wanted to come home, see my family, wrestle in front of an American crowd. But at the same time, I made a family out there.
Well, were you able to keep up with your favorite TV shows as well when you were there? Or was it one of those things where you came home and just, like, binge-watched The Walking Dead?
No, I actually was able to keep up to date with The Walking Dead. Nice. A few other shows I couldn't find online, but I'll watch them soon. But like I said, I've been busy wrestling since I've gotten back, so haven't had much downtime here either.
What's the diet like in Japan? So what would you eat in Japan? I'm just curious.
I tried a lot of different things. I didn't like most of them, but I definitely told myself I would try everything once. I had shark fin. I had eel. Wow. Like, it was like crazy stuff. But mainly I did the chicken and rice, kept it safe, I knew what I was eating and healthy.
So on that note, you know, you tried a bunch of different things in Japan, but what was that first thing that you had to have when you were stateside?
It was actually Lou Malnati's deep dish pizza. Mm. They had pizza out there, but nothing was deep dish. Not that that original Chicago style pizza.
So what kind of pizza?
That was literally.
Is it like squid pizza out there, or what?
Yeah, they have so many different pizzas with shrimp and fish and tuna. Like, it's just, no, it's not Chicago-style pizza.
So many different styles, but no Chicago-style.
No.
Wait a minute, there's a tuna fish pizza?
There is everything pizza.
Wow.
Have you not been outside of La Crosse before, Jesse?
I've been outside of La Crosse before, but I've never had a tuna fish pizza.
Pizza Doctors is right down the street. They have peanut butter and jelly pizza. Are you telling me that you're surprised by tuna pizza?
I'm kind of banned from there.
Peanut butter and jelly pizza?
Yeah, that's a real first. That's a real thing, and it's not very good.
Well, why would it be good?
I don't know. It's just
do they do, like, bread, peanut butter,
jelly bread? We can talk about peanut butter pizza all we want to later, but, you know, Melanie, I find it really interesting, you know, as a lot of people know here in the Midwest, that Memphis style of wrestling is so, you know, commonly seen. I mean, the fans like getting into it, the fans love the characters, and as you said, it's really all about just the performance aspect over in Japan. How hard was that adjusting, I guess, just not having that character, that gimmick, but still needing to put on a good show as far as just showing what you can do in the middle of the ring?
It was actually a lot different because I had to dial up my wrestling, and I had to dial down my entertainment, which all in all was a big test for me just to see what I could do as a wrestler. But it wasn't terrible because the girls in the ring, like I said, wrestling's universal, and it was really nice to have a change of pace because everyone gets worn out, like on the indies and stuff. So it was really nice to try something totally different, submerge myself in it. And then when I came back, I was able to appreciate it more.
I don't know. So how's the total wrestling scene right now in Japan? Is it very positive? Is it very negative? Is there a lot of excitement?
Wrestling is everyday life to people out there. It's very, very big. These halls and venues were pulling in 500 to 1,000 people every night. And they have shows on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Like, any day of the week, there's wrestling somewhere. So it's still very big.
So on that note, you know, with wrestling being so big, one thing that we actually talked a little bit during the tour was how important merchandise is. And, you know, if you were to come back to Japan, what would be the top merchandise item that Melanie Cruz would have ready for the Japanese fans?
It's actually just like here. It's 8x10s.
8x10s.
Huh. People want the pictures, and they'll actually pay for, like, just taking pictures while you're standing there of your, but the Japanese are very, very respectful about it. The first maybe 3-4 weeks I was there, I didn't sell a single picture or t-shirt because they were intimidated of my character as a wrestler, that big, mean monster, whatever you want to call it. And then once I was starting to learn how to handle the crowd, to get them, like, entertained and get them involved, then literally every show I would sell out on all my pictures. Like, it was just ridiculous. Like, I couldn't keep enough in stock. But it took a little bit of time, but where you have to establish who you are, what you do, your character. But over there, they don't really have characters. Almost every women wrestler is a baby. And then at the end of the match, they hug, they shake hands. But with me, they see me pushing people away, kicking their hand when they go to shake my hand, like that little stuff. And it totally threw them off, but it just took some time for them to warm up to my character.
So you weren't rampaging through the crowd, like punching people like Bruiser Brody style or anything like that?
No, I thought about it, but I wanted to stay there my whole 3 months. I didn't want any problems.
I still thought that. I think, I don't remember who mentioned this before, but I still think like a Cruzilla gimmick would have been so awesome if you had like little miniature buildings in the ring and you're just like, I'm bigger than everybody and I'm stepping on buildings.
Oh my God.
I would have been like, oh, what? But if they don't appreciate characters, they'd have been like, what's this lady doing in the ring stepping on buildings?
Yeah, right.
They're like, I don't get it. So you went to Japan, you had that experience, but now, you know, you're back in the States. Where's somewhere else that you'd like to experience, I guess, a different style that you'd like to, you know, see outside of the States, maybe somewhere down the road?
The two biggest places I want to go to England and Australia. They have the entertainment part of wrestling, but like Japan was, I want to see the different crowds. the different types of crowds. From every different style of wrestling, there's a different type of crowd. So my goal is to be a good entertainer in wrestling. Like, wrestling's entertainment now. Everyone knows it. It sucks, but that's what it is. So I want to be able to entertain any single type of crowd or type of fan.
So on that note as well, is there a certain promotion or area in the States that you're trying to look to also get out to as well?
I mean, ever since I came back from Japan, I've gotten amazing offers. But, of course, conflicts with dates. But there's a lot of things in the work, and I believe that I'm going to get everywhere I want to in the States. So
well, you talk about You talk about conflict of dates. I mean, ever since you came back, it seems like, what, you've been every weekend there's been a show, and I believe there's been a few double shots, if I'm not mistaken?
There was two double shots, there was a triple shot, and then one weekend I had one. So it's all different.
Well, hopefully you're taking plenty of shots after those matches, too. Oh, good. So where can we see Melanie Cruz coming up here soon?
What is coming up? All right. Pro Wrestling Blitz is in Joliet, and that is December 27th. And then this Friday, downtown at the Abbey Pub for Freelance Wrestling.
Well, one thing that go ahead, Melanie. Oh.
And then the final one, my last show of the year, is for SSW in Kenosha at the Broad Stop for the Lightning Division title.
So you got these things coming up, Melanie. You were in Japan. A lot of people that come on here, we always talk about goals. What do you want to do in the future? A lot of people say, hey, man, we want to go to Japan. We want to try that stuff out. What's the goal now for Melanie Cruz down the road now that you've had that experience?
Although I'm absolutely grateful and everything that I went to Japan, that wasn't one of my number one goals. My number one goal is to literally wrestle as long as possible. So it's a little different than most people. Yes, I'd love to go to WWE or TNA. But that's not at the top of the list. I mean, with all the difference in women's wrestling there, I love what I'm doing now, and my biggest goal is just to travel more so I could gain as much knowledge as possible.
So, Melanie, before we wrap things up for the spotlight, we do actually have one question for you. It's from the mouth of the Midwest, JP.
Great.
So, you know, in typical JP style, you're talking a little bit of smack. So you mentioned SSW is your last show of the year. You'll actually be going toe-to-toe with him for the Lightning Division title. So he had to ask, how's it going to feel when your momentum hits a brick wall when you take on JP?
Wow.
That was his question? That's the best he can come up with.
Apparently he's not really good at talking smack.
He knows that I've beat him quite a few times.
Well, I'd also like to point out...
He definitely has a challenge coming up.
Well, he's only interim champion because you weren't there to actually hold the belt.
Correct, and he knows that.
So I guess we'll just have to see what happens on the 28th over at the Broad Stop in Kenosha for SSW.
So what exactly is the Lightning Division, though, in SSW? I've never actually heard of a Lightning Division before. What exactly does it entail?
It's their midweight championship. They have their heavyweight and then the Lightning Division.
Oh, that makes sense,
Makes sense. So, yeah. Melanie, where can everybody go to stay up on the current news? You know, like, what if you go to Mexico, like, or Antarctica? I'm sure there's maybe wrestling there. I'm not sure.
Penguin Pro Wrestling.
But if you go there, everybody wants to know, where can we stay up to date with all the Melanie Cruz news? That sounded kind of cool.
Twitter and Facebook. Good old Facebook. Just type in Melanie Cruz on Facebook, and then Twitter is at MelanieCruz77.
All right, cool. Well, Melanie, thanks for your time here on the Spotlight and Squared Circle. We actually feel very privileged and honored to have you on this week.
I need
week.
Some Japanese
Absolutely.
Food.
Absolutely.
What I need right now.
I want to try that.
Well, thank you guys for having me.
All right, hey, no problem. Hey, thanks for being on.
No problem. Have a great night, guys.
That's Melanie Cruz on Grapple Talk. We got Wrestler's Perspective with AC Riley, everybody's favorite, sort of, coming up right after this.
Talk about your Psalms. Talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says...
Stop watching your neighbors get undressed. You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Come on, that's not necessary.
All he's got to do is...
Download the latest Grapple Talk podcast on iTunes. Just type Grapple Talk into the search bar. It's not rocket science.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Wow, guys, that was just a fabulous interview there with Melanie Cruz. I'm glad she was able to actually make some time in her busy schedule to sit down with us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's cool how different it is, because normally when we have people come on here, it's always the same format where it's like, why did you start wrestling? Where did your stuff come from? With Melanie, you know, we know her credentials, and you know, it was interesting just focusing on the aspect of wrestling in Japan. You know, just taking a different route on our spotlight. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, definitely, it's about that journey. It's about gaining more experience and being able to get outside of your comfort zone. It definitely sounds like she was out of her comfort zone.
Speaking out of getting out of your comfort zone,
put on your bifocals. It's Wrestler's Perspective.
Getting out of your comfort zone. We just talked about CM Punk joining the UFC. Earlier on in the show, if you were listening, hopefully you're not one of those turds that fast forwards through everything, because I hate when people do that. Don't you hate that? Especially a podcast, you can't see what you're fast forwarding. Like, what if you just missed some great, like, breaking news that happened 10 minutes ago?
That's true. You know, you don't want to fast forward through any podcast. But anyhow, getting to the question at hand, AC Riley.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about doing mixed martial arts?
I'll be honest, I've thought about it before.
When?
A while ago.
How long ago?
Not like last week, but you know, a couple of years ago, I've always thought about it. I mean, it's just like with wrestling. You see it on TV, and you're thinking, oh, I really want to do that. You know, you watch enough UFC fights, and you're thinking, I wonder what that would be like to kind of get into that.
Yeah.
You know, oddly enough, I remember way back, it was one of the sporting stores here in the area. They had talked about something that there was like local boxing, like, organizations in the area, and that was something I always thought. I was like, yeah, wouldn't that be something to like just do independent boxing, you know,
right,
or something like that? Just like with wrestling, you know, just it'd be interesting to kind of see what it's like, you know, you kind of getting out of the comfort zone, but at the same time, you know, seeing if you can thrive in that situation instead of being like, you know, it's just that situation of what if,
right?
And it's the curiosity. I'd probably get my ass kicked. You know, I'd probably have a few black eyes and, you know, messed up bones,
right.
Broken bones,
right.
Excuse me. But it's always something it's been in the back of my mind.
I just think that's my opinion about it. We have this thing called the Wisconsin Rumble. You ever been there? You ever went to that?
I've always wanted to go, but yeah. I've never had an opportunity.
It's regular guys kickboxing. It's,
mm-hmm.
And you go and you're like, you can relate. You're
thought it was just one kick there a lot.
Dude, it's still kickboxing.
Oh.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
Doing anything.
he was allowed one kick. All right.
So anyways, but it's regular guy. You relate to it. You're like, I can relate to this guy. It's like, then they say, hey, here's this guy from whatever town from, you know, Ding Dong, Wisconsin. And it's
that's
like,
a nice town.
It is a great town. They have great food there, actually. Great restaurants.
Wiener schnitzel. Perfect.
Yeah,
there.
It's a great wiener schnitzel there. But then you watch him in the ring, and it's like, here's average Joe. But there's always like that, those three guys that are like, you know, prepare all year for this because there's like a $500 prize, whatever. And you watch average Joe just get knocked silly, and you're like, I don't want to look like that. Like, I don't want to be that guy. That's like, you know, it's like you could train and stuff for it, but regardless, one of you is going to look inferior to the other. I mean, in pro wrestling, we all know it's like a story. We all know it's, you know, this. We all know you're working together in the ring. When it comes to kickboxing or MMA, it's like you're there to whoop somebody else's ass and make them look like garbage, because that's how you want to win the fight. If you don't win by knocking somebody out or submitting somebody, you want to win because you looked better in the ring based on a judge's decision. So I just think, you know, I already get embarrassed enough when I'm going up for a layup at the Y and I get blocked by some random Joe that nobody cares about. I couldn't imagine getting in a ring with a bunch of people watching and then also get my nose punched in and having that stupid-ass look on my face when I'm falling to the mat and everybody's like, that dude just got knocked the fuck out. And then I have to stand there while the other dude gets his hand raised. It's like, how embarrassing. I think you have to have a very strong self-esteem and just a very strong, you know, I'm very pessimistic, so you have to always walk in the octagon. I'm going to win. Otherwise, if you don't have that mindset, no way, dude. No way, Jose.
That is definitely true. We got to, you know, one of your favorite guys, Alberto Del Rio, signed with Bellator.
Did he really?
He did.
No way.
He did.
I thought he was sticking with AAA.
He's doing AAA and he's doing Bellator as well.
Oh, he's going to do both.
I guess so. Yeah, he tried both at one point in time. He actually got knocked out.
Did he?
By Crow Cop. He was in Pride. Yeah, he got knocked out pretty bad.
Interesting.
Yeah, took a roundhouse kick right to that, and he was done.
Maybe he'll be taking some more in Bellator, then.
Okay, well, speaking of roundhouse kicks,
if you're Bruce Willis or a die-hard wrestling fan, here's Tape Study with Jesse Von Rudin.
Okay, we're going to go back to 1994. It was actually July the 11th.
I was born 3 years before that.
Really? On that date?
No, just the year.
Okay. Well, anyhow, it was on an episode of WWE Raw. It was the 1-2-3 Kid taking on Bret Hart for the WWE Championship.
Really?
This match basically solidified the 1-2-3 Kid as a major player in the WWE and was sold matter-of-factly by Jim Ross and the Macho Man Randy Savage on commentary.
Wow.
It's a fabulous match. It was probably the first great wrestling match in the history of Raw because...
Overall technicality.
It might have been. The first one might have been very much like Mr. Perfect, you know, Ric Flair, loser leaves town match. But this was like the one that really set the bar for what exactly that WWE style was going to be.
Right.
It's a classic match. Folks, we'll put it up on YouTube. Cool. It's already up on YouTube, pardon me. We'll put it on Facebook. We'll put it on Twitter. We'll put it everywhere else so you guys can enjoy it.
Cool. Awesome.
Great.
Great.
Great. Great.
Cool. Closing comments.
I got nothing.
You got cut off guard on that one?
I did a little bit.
You just want to apologize for not having a show last week because it's all your fault?
Yeah.
I know the stress from us probably had it squeezed out of your tight jeans, but I don't know.
Hey, but you know what, folks? There's a lot of good podcasts out there as well. Our friend Rennie D on the Pencil, you got to check that one out if you haven't done it.
Yeah.
Mobile Podcast with Derek Cornett. It's actually a pretty good one as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
If you actually like retro booking your WWE, he does a really good job.
That's really cool. Yeah, always interesting to hear the topics of that. I mean, I know I've tuned into Jim Cornette rebooking the Invasion once, and it was ass backwards from what the WWE did. So I was like,
did he have the Rock and Roll Express come in?
I don't remember. It was a lot of weird stuff. It was like, and then I'm gonna have, you know, it's like this guy is gonna come out and be like, what's going on? And it's like, who? Like, what? You're just pulling names out of a hat. There's no way. But he wasn't. He had all this planned out, and it was like, wow, that takes a lot of in-depth stuff. He went week by week. I was like, what the fuck? Are you serious? You went week by week? That's a lot of weeks.
All right, if you want to follow us week by week, you can as well. We're on Podbean. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, on the iTunes as well. Look up podcasts.
We're on iTunes.
The Grapple Talk. We are the only The Grapple Talk.
That's how I listen to us on iTunes. I listen to us after we're on.
Huh.
I'm a strong fan.
I'm glad.
Of Grapple Talk. Nice. Of The Grapple Talk. Well, guys, that's it probably for this week of Grapple Talk. We most likely won't be taking next week off. Might be taking Christmas week off, though, guys, to be honest.
Like, we'll find out.
No, that's probably going
to
happen.
Card subject to change.
No, that's most likely we won't be here for that. But we will be here for next week. So until next week, for AC Riley, Jessica Unruden, I am your favorite host, Nick Ragner. We'll catch you guys next week right here on Grapple Talk.
The views of everyone on Grapple Talk are just very much, you know, perspective.
Nice.
Yep.
Well, hey, guys, coming up next week on Grapple Talk, if AC Riley doesn't lose the SD card on his way home, we are sitting down with Dysfunction.
Yeah, you know, we had Dysfunction on a long time ago. You know, looking forward to having him come on once again.
Historic episode. The first Grapple Talk that we ever cussed on was that one.
That opened up the floodgates and ruined your life, didn't it?
It did.
You know, we're going to be talking with this a lot about a lot of things. Two topics in particular. We're going to be talking about the Wisconsin indie scene and talk a little bit about JCW.
Yep.
Of course, you know, if you have any questions for Dysfunction you want asked, use hashtag AskGrappleTalk, and we'll definitely ask him those questions because, fans, we can't do this show without him.
We really can't, and Dys is always a great guy to ask questions. I mean, the guy has just tons and tons of experience. One of the, you know, good great minds, I guess, right now in the Midwest independent scene. Can't wait to be sitting down with Dys once again and cussing with him.
You guys are like cuss brothers.
We're cuss brothers. That sounds almost a little dirty. We are swearing brothers.
Swearing brothers. We're the swearing brothers.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
Oh, hello. I'm like Mr. Cut. You know, I'm a good cookie cutter guy. Hello.
I'm playing vanilla.
I like vanilla ice cream. What kind of ice cream do you like?
It's like, I like things with flavor.
With Nick Ragner, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
I feel like it's a lot easier to be a dick and then a smartass and all combined into one.
Just talking about dicks and asses right now.
Your two favorite topics.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.